Praise God today. This is Russ Dizdar, Book of Acts, Field Manual for the End of Days. How you doing? May the Spirit of God strengthen you and bless you today. Hey, may we be filled, may we just be filled full of the Holy Spirit, right? To the max. We're going to see that in the next number of audios and all the way through the Book of Acts. That's God's will, and that's a good thing. And the power of God, the dunamis, the dynamite, that's the Spirit of God's power. Clothed with power from on high. We are on audio 45, page 50 in your workbook. And as you look there, we're verse 5 in chapter 4. So audio 45, page 50, and verse 5 in Acts chapter 4. Now on that day, their rulers and elders and scribes were assembled at Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the family of the high priest. Now, there you've got, here are the rulers of Israel. Here are the, ones that have been, everybody recognizes these are the rulers. They hold the authority. They're the ones that, now I believe they're the ones that are spoken about in Romans 11, that they sought their own way of righteousness. They discarded God's gift of grace and gift of righteousness. You go back to John's Gospel, chapter 5, 6, and 7, in reference to the unbelief, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and of the rulers. So I think in 1 Corinthians, none of the rulers, if the rulers would have understood, they never would have crucified him. I don't know if you've read that or not in 1 Corinthians, but I think that that is a, it's an incredible indictment, a statement. If they really would have known, but that involves the belief issue. That involves whether they would believe or not. So I'm going to speak verse 6 and 7 in 1 Corinthians 2. Yet we speak wisdom among those who are mature, although not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age, and that's a direct reference to these Jewish rulers. Verse 8, 1 Corinthians 2, 8. None of the rulers of this age knew it. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, that is huge, I think, when it comes to this. And I think, again, a backdrop study would be John's Gospel 5, 6, and 7 to see them. Now, as they're all gathering, let me tell you something. I think it's very important. The idea of intimidation here, the idea of authority here, the stated authority, what the community knew as authority, those who felt themselves in authority. And here they're misleading everybody. They're at the top of the echelon. They're grouped together. You know, again, you can have all the badges and positions and names. The rulers, the elders, the scribes, assembled at Jerusalem, the center. Now, Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who are of the family of the high priest. So you got past high priest. And here's what they did. They stood them, the disciples, Peter and them, in the midst, in the middle. That's, in a real sense, a sense of intimidation, I think. I think that, whether they were sitting up higher, which would probably be it, and they're all gathered around them, and you know what a court of law looks like in a sense too, but all of a sudden there they are, put in the middle of everything. They're in the miso, they're in the middle, they're in the midst, and here the leaders now are going to do the examination. They're going to do the interrogation. This is like a judicial court. I mean, this is kind of we're going to see the word examined here. Anakrino, meaning to examine as in investigation, as in kind of a judicial thing. I mean, when you think in terms of people taking you to court, well, they've been taken to the highest in the land at this point, as far as among the people there. And these are the leaders that are now going to do the questioning. They're going to do the examining. So they've been brought in. And remember the backdrop to this. Thousands now are saved. Great powers come. They're just troubled. They're kind of in a frenzy because of what God is doing. From Acts 2 on, Pentecost, the power of God, thousands believing, more believing. And we just looked at verse 4. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number grew to about 5,000. Well, that's when it seems like the unbelieving, the Christ-rejecting ones, the ones that would have been involved even in the crucifixion, we're going to see this. And we're going to see, listen, when we're filled with the Spirit, we're speaking truth. There's no hold back. We're getting stronger and bolder, and we could be examined. I don't know if you've ever been examined. I don't know if your family, if people at work, in your nation that you live in your, you know, it depends on where you're at, a tribe, a state, a locality, a neighborhood, a college, a university, a professor. And I think there are those that are kind of, in the secular sense, anti-God, anti-Christ, you know, so forth, or they hold on to something else. New Agers and Wiccans and say, they may examine you. Are you prepared to be examined? Are you prepared? I wrote as a backdrop, if you want to take go all the way back to Nehemiah chapter 4, when they were really threatened. I mean, there was a serious threat. And the response by Nehemiah reminds me of this response, immediate, quoting God, seeking God, quoting, and declaring. So there's response. Believers did not go silent. So when the top leaders of the land come, and by what power or by what name, so what dunamis, what's the expressed power, what's behind all that's happening here from Pentecost, thousands getting saved, now growing to 5,000, the healings that occurred, things that have been happening, by what power or by what name have you done this? So you know what they're doing? They're examining a miracle. They're examining a miracle by the, you know, what's the source. And of course they want to engage, and they already know that they're preaching Jesus. They're preaching Jesus as Savior, as Messiah, as Lord, as God, raised from the dead. And the thousands that are believing, and now there's healings that have occurred. And well, these who do not know God, again, John's Gospel 5, 6, 7, and the clarity of Jesus is these are not the people of God. The devil's their father, not God. The Spirit of God doesn't dwell in them. If they would have believed Moses and believed Moses, they would have been prepared, and they would have believed Jesus. That's how it was meant to. You know, the Old Testament was meant to be that way. Look at Simeon in Luke's gospel, you know, when here he is, the Spirit of God's on him. Here he is believing the Scripture. He's now one believing the Scripture, the Spirit of God's on him. The Spirit of God leads him out to find the baby Jesus. And he prophesies. So that's the way it was meant to be. But these guys, you got to remember, in the realest sense, Sadducees, Pharisees, and these elders and scribes and high priests and so forth, you've got a cult religion. In Romans 11, we read about, you know, they set aside God's way of righteousness. They established their own. They established their own cult. And they did not know God. The Spirit of God was not in and on them. And this is very important as we think about this, because we're going to be examined by a lot of different people at times. And there may be in your family and people down the street, and you know, you're out there being a real Spirit-filled believer, and people will get healed out there. And people will get delivered from demons out there. And there's miraculous things that God will do, and then there's going to be people that will examine that. They want to know how. You're going to have professors and universities and antagonists and those, you know, that are very hardcore. They want to trip up believers at times. The hardcore angry atheists, I think sometimes they want to just trip. They're just angry. They want to speak. They want to rail against God, against Scripture, against religion. But they have no answers. Where'd we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? They don't know. So when you have someone coming to examine you, in a real sense, to attack you, and intimidation, I think this was intimidation. And I think it's important. You can go back to Luke's Gospel 12:11. Jesus, for the Holy Spirit will teach you what to, you know, in that hour, what you ought to say. So when it comes to when you're put up against the wall, in a sense, intimidated, and demands are, you know, you don't have to worry about things. The Spirit of God. The believer has the Spirit of God. The Father is there. The Spirit of God. He's gonna guide you in what to say. There's going to be a response. And it's kind of interesting that they're asking, by what power? You ever have somebody say, what is it about you? What do you have inside of you? You know, I see that you're religious. I see that you go to church. But do they know there's a presence in you? This is a true story. Years and years and years ago, I was at a wedding out in California. I did a wedding, and as a pastor, I did a wedding. And after the wedding, at the reception, there was a man there that asked to walk out. He wanted me to walk outside with him. And I walked outside. And he took me all the way down by himself, looked around. He says, listen, I've been watching you from the very beginning. You've got something inside of you. You've got a piece. You've got something I don't have. What is it? I looked right at him and smiled. I felt the Spirit of God. I said, it's Jesus. He gives a peace that the world can't give. That God gives, peace like a river that comes from God. Jesus has given me peace and forgiven me and lives in me. So a tremendous witness to this guy. Now, right on the street, he didn't get saved. Prayerfully, he got saved later. But that witness, that reality that there was something really there that he was seeing and he wanted to know what it was. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, I will also say this, that when you're put in the middle, and again, that could be at the university. I've been in secular university, vulgarity of language of professors, the attack, calling God or her, and just like ripping away anything and everything to try to bring about a reimagining, to change things and attack things. And don't forget, right there, I've been in a hot room, one of those saunas, 170 degrees. You sit in there with 20 other people, and some question comes up. And somebody asks you, you know, what do you believe in? You know, you believe in heaven? You know, one guy walked in and said, man, it's hot as hell in here. I looked up and said, it's nowhere near hot as hell in here. Hell is much hotter. And we got into a major discussion about salvation and Jesus. So you may be examined. What's in your life? What do you believe? Why do you go to church? Why do you do that? Why do you read that Bible? Why do you have that thing? Why do you sing? What's wrong with you? And when they're all messed up and drugged and drunk and lost and empty and so forth. So let people ask questions. You know, we can read in Peter where we're to be prepared to give an answer, apologetics, to give a reason for the incredible hope that we have, why we believe in Jesus, why we have this hope, why we have this presence, and to do this with gentleness, respect. So remember that power is not in loudness, it's in truth. And it's important. It's in how loud we speak at times. The power of the Spirit of God is inseparable from truth, the biblical truth. The truth will set you free. You'll know it. It'll set you free. So here, by what power or by what name? They want to know both. Well, they already knew they were preaching on the name of Jesus, and these rulers, these that rejected Christ and were involved in the crucifixion of Christ, well, they already knew all this. And their whole goal was to shut this down. You're going to find people that are dead in trespasses and sins. Remember Romans 8? Romans 8 defines the sin nature as hostile to God. So there are going to be times when people are lost. Sinners will act like sinners. I don't expect them any more than I was, respectful or whatever else. And, you know, there's a nature inside fallen mankind, unsaved mankind, and that's hostile. It can't submit to God. The gospel must be preached. The Spirit of God convinces, convicts, and of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, and draws people. you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ, the word of the gospel, Romans 10, the word of God. That's how. So they're asking, and that's a good thing. I'm glad. I've had Satanists, I've had atheists, I've had cops, I've had, you know, over all the years, bikers and people in bars outside and on the streets as we're witnessing. You know, what is it? What are you into? Why do you believe that? Why are you doing this? Why do you live this way? Why aren't you drunk? Well, ask all those questions. I'd love to answer and tell you why. But here's how you do it. Verse 8 is, I think, the astounding, incredible verse. I really think that's the great verse. And we're going to come to that in the audio 46 when we come to 46. But I wanted just to deal with it. How have you ever been examined? Has anybody said, do they see Jesus in you? Do they see God's presence? Do they see, you know, you're into... I mean, it's not, again, like the Pharisees and the certain haircut, certain clothing. It's not clothesline, you know, well, you look like a Christian because you got a suit and tie on. Well, that's... There's no gangsters have suit and ties on. You know, it's not about having a grill on or bling on or whatever else. Believers come in, as far as what you look like, clothing and all that, in many different fashions. But the real issue is, when you're living for Jesus and there's people that see that, why are you out there feeding those people? Why are you out there talking to those guys? Why are you going to the prisons and telling them about God? You know, so this audio, 45, I wanted it to be just on that one thing. Let's put you in the middle. Let's put you before all the antagonists, the intimidators. And... There is a tendency, fear of man, it says in Proverbs, fear of man can be a snare. And yet we've been given not the spirit of fear, but of power, God says in Timothy, the book of Timothy. Power and love of sound mind. So we've got to remember as believers, as we're living this out, as we're doing the word of God, the word and the works are inseparable. If you receive the word, you're obeying the word, you're doing the works. You can't, it's one and the same. If you're not believing the word, most likely you're not doing the works of Jesus. Or if you're setting aside, or if you're not in obedience to the word. As you obey the word, you step out, and you step out in evangelism, you step out in prayer, you step out in prayer for healing, you step out in all of it. As a believer, as a powerhouse in Christ, there's going to be people ask you. There's going to be Satanists. There's going to be, again, people that have other demon spirits. I've walked into houses that I've been invited to come to where witches and others, I've walked in where, I mean, they really do have a demon spirit guide. And as soon as I walk in, one place I remember, this witch stood up and got, I mean, just filled with anxiety and looked at me, and I think the demon told them. We've had a couple episodes where the demon manifested. We had to command the demon out. So I just want you to know that in the world that you live in, it's okay. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to be, sin nature, this, you know, people that are living in hedonism and sin and strong atheism, and even if they're Islamic, believing in a demon territorial, you know, God of the Middle East, or a Satanist believing in things, or a New Ager believing in spirit guides. What you have is absolutely different. God, the fullness of God, the living Christ, a Savior. You have the presence of God now. You're a temple of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God's in you. Luke 12:11. The promise the Spirit of God will give you, will guide you. You're enhanced. You're guided in the giving of an answer. As somebody's asking you, or if they got you up against the wall, or if it's someone in your household, and just inwardly pray, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, guide me, give me answer, share with me. You know, I remember the one that when I first got saved, we were down at the University of Akron, and we're witnessing to an old friend of ours, he's like a really rugby player, and he's a wrestler. He's very good. He's very well known. And as he's drinking his beer, we're witnessing to him, and he's, you know, back and forth and back and forth, and he's asking us. And the moment he began to ask questions, I remember as a new believer, I probably learned 3 verses of Scripture, and I pulled out my little Bible in my back pocket, and, you know, I pulled out those 3 verses. I gave him verses, the ones that I knew. That's why Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, if you're going to be the powerhouse, the more you let the word of Christ dwell in you, the more the Spirit of God has content in you. The better you know it, the better you use it. And I'm saying, again, memorize it, but memorize it in the knowing sense, that you're believing it, that you're obeying it, that you're embracing it, that you understand it. And if you've got it inside, if you're memorizing it too, I guarantee you the Spirit of God will cause you to remember in whatever circumstances what you need to know and what you need to give. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. We're going to see in verse 8 on down in the next audio. So the question, you know, who are you? Why are you in the Bible? Why do you go to church? Why do you give money? Why do you go down there to that place? Why do you feed people? Why do you give that away? You know, why do you believe in God? Look at the world that we're living in. You know, all these complaints by those who are lost. And the answer, that answer, that reason for an indestructible hope is very powerful. It's your testimony. What, you know, you part of your answer is because Jesus Christ changed my life. Because Jesus Christ came in my life and saved me. Your testimony of salvation and what Jesus did for you is powerful to others. And tell them and speak to them. Then accordingly to those times when people, you know, ask, you know, it might be just simply, when I was a police chaplain in a police car, an officer may ask me a simple question. There may be on the street some half-drunk person ask a bold, vulgar question. You know, there's all kinds of ways in which people ask things. Some of the hardest ones that really, you know, rapid questions were strong atheists. But answer them. Spirit of God's there. Hear their ask, by what power? That's the word dunamis. You shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So, believer today, you have the Spirit of God, dunamis power, dwelling in you, upon you to be witnesses of Jesus. By what name? You know, who is this Jesus? Who is it you believe in? Why do you believe in him? Those kind of things. And then your ability to answer, as we're going to see here in a few moments, your ability to answer is going to be powerful. And the goal of it is not, listen, let me make this very clear too in apologetics. The goal isn't to win an argument, it's to win a soul. I don't want to win an argument, lose a soul. I want to give a biblical, a Holy Spirit guided, I want to give an answer to the lost person that's trying to intimidate me, threaten me, scare me, question me, make fun of me, bully me, I don't care. God the Holy Spirit will bring an answer back. And as we give that, it may bring conviction on you. They may go away, they may cuss at you. And they may drop, as I've seen, and get saved right there. So may the Holy Spirit, may you know very clearly Luke 12:11, may you know this right here, that no question about is being a believer in a fallen world. Satan and sin is there. No question there's going to be those who question you, antagonize you, all those kind of things. But you stand. May God empower you, embolden you, because of the dunamis of the Spirit of God, God dwelling in you, on you, with you, to aid you in that response. And when they ask you about the name, when they ask you about Jesus, when they push you about that, that's a platform. That's a platform to witness the presence, the power, the saving, the beauty, the wonder, what Jesus has done. They've opened the door. I think questions, when they're questioning you, they're opening the door for you to pour out a witness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Power of the Holy Spirit on you to be a witness of Jesus. And you take them all the way to Jesus, and you proclaim that gospel, and God's power will bring conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that intent, that answer, and every time I answer, I don't care if I'm in a university setting or streets or near a biker bar or a Satanist, don't make any difference. The ultimate end of that is to lead them to Jesus, lead them to Christ. May the Spirit of God give you that strength and joy, the joy of the Lord. Maybe they're seeing the joy of the Lord in you. Maybe they're seeing the consistency, the truth. You won't lie. They haven't pushed you over the edge. You know, sometimes those, you know, lost individuals, maybe you did this before you got saved, you know, push you to try to get you to do something wrong, and you won't do it because you know who you are. You don't give in to them because you know who you are in Jesus. And, you know, blessed is the man who does not give way to that. James, we talk about that as far as temptation. God always has a way out. But here he is with power of the Spirit of God, and here we are with the name and the person of a living Savior. Blessing to you. See you next audio.